mercy.
All right.
Father God, I love you, Lord. Thank you for today. I thank you for asking us, Lord. It's just really humbling to know that you even entrusted Paige and I to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, I just thank you for them. I thank you for them just being family to us. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of just those who are here and those who aren't here. The lives who have come through past point, Lord, thinking of Brad and Annie, Tyler and Jen, even Tom and Beck having a part in it, and just all those people out doing what you called them to do. So I pray that we would just learn from them, from their example, and we would just take it and run with it. So I pray that you would just speak to us today, Lord, and just put me out of the way as we look into the life of Joseph some more, and just the hardships and the things that we go through. Lord, I just pray that that you're glorified through it. I pray you just bless the conversation, the teaching, and the practice. All right, so a couple things. I don't have my Bible. I left it at work. So I am like, I'm playing through English today. It's just all English. I mean, so Paige gave me her little Bible, and I used it yesterday at the men's conference, and it's just not the same, right? I have the exact same Bible, and it's like twice as thick. So how does that happen? It's been left out in the rain. So anyway, if you missed the men's conference, and I know a couple of you guys were there, you missed out. I didn't make it Friday night because I ended up working until 9 o'clock, but I went yesterday, and this is the men's conference for New Life. But I had talked myself out of going just because I was beat. We worked a lot this week. It was just a really, really grueling week at work. It was just one of those, I was tapped out, and I had already talked myself out of it. I was going to cut some wood yesterday, some things at the house, and my lovely wife, I thought, would be right on board with that. Because anytime I want to stay home, she's just like, yes, you should do that. And she asked me, she said, hey, are you going to go tomorrow? Because obviously I was going to make it Friday night. I don't know. And she had just, and Paige never does this. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But anytime the option is go do something or stay home because I'm going to be home, it's always you should stay home. Right? Because we both spend time together. So it's like you should go. You know, I'll be happy to stay, but I think you should go. You know, she knew that Mike Blake was teaching. Any of you guys know Mike Blake or know of Mike Blake, please speak the same. I'm a very black and white kind of guy. I just want to tell you what I feel about things. I let the Bible explain itself. I'm pretty unapologetic about it, and I hope I don't offend people like that, but he's had a way. And then also just the fellowship with my brother and Kyle, both the guys that I grew up with. And so she encouraged me to go. I went, and it was really, really good. So I think they made the orders again if you want to try to get a hold of it somehow. I don't know, but it was good. At one point, this is when I realized that me and Mike Blake, we really are the same way. He said something, and it was like, I can picture myself saying the exact same thing. He said something along the lines of, what I was teaching, that I feel pretty passionate about, but, and this isn't word for word, obviously, it's like I feel pretty passionate about, but it's not like ingrained doctrine, right? This is something that I feel, when you read it, this is kind of explaining itself. You know, so this is what I feel about someone to teach them. You know, he said, I'm not opposed to anybody coming and talking to me about it, but you better bring your Bible, because I'm going to show you what I believe, and you better be able to show me what you believe. And I'm like, that is my part on this book. I'm going to give somebody everything I've got. I'm just going to lay it out there. And if you don't agree with me, that's awesome. Come and let's talk about it. But you better bring your sword with you, because we're going to have a sword fight. Right? And if at the end of the day I'm wrong, I'll admit to you that I'm wrong. But it was really, really good. I'm fired up, guys. And then, you know, Tyler came over last night and just hanging out with my brother and Christ. This was a really good day yesterday, so I had nothing to do with that. We missed out. So it was awesome. So, okay, Genesis chapter 40, back into the life of Joseph. So if you guys have been in on the first couple weeks of this, you kind of know where we're going. If you haven't been, maybe you've listened to it, I don't know. But the Bible is broken. Am I open? That's how bad I wanted to be out of work on Friday. I finally left there and it was after dark, and I totally didn't space the fact that my dad was in my office. office that I was in at like 6:30 in the morning. I left it there. Anyway, so you've missed out. All right, I'm scattered from you guys. You missed out because Joseph is, she's going through some stuff, right? And so every week I'm going to ask you the same three questions. And so some of you guys already know I'm going with it, but if not, write them down. Write them in your brain. If you don't want to, that's fine, because by the time we're done with this, you're going to remember them, because I'm going to ask you the same question every week. Because this is where this story is leading you to. You know, there's a lot of little stories inside of it. There's a lot of little teachings that we can get out of the inside of what is going on in Genesis chapter, not just chapter 40, but in the life of Joseph, right? There's a lot of hardships. There's a lot of different things. You can look at just a pit for days. You can look at the whole situation with Potiphar and his wife and that whole deal. You can look at how he was with Terrence, all those different things. But it's not until you get towards the end and the whole thing circles back around, and then you see that all of that had a purpose. All of the crap that he went through, all the stuff that he had to go through, the suffering, the everything, it's like the light bulb turns on. And not for him, because he knew something was coming. He was faithful enough to know something, but for us, when you read it. So right, so here's the first question. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? You know, yeah, duh. Okay, well, you can say God duh all you want. Right? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life, right? God's will and God's plan are different. God's will is for the Christian to, or for the unbelieving person to get saved, right? If you're not saved, that's the only thing he's concerned about. You need to get saved. He's not worried about anything else in your life. If you are lost, you need to be saved. Once you get saved, it changes. God's will for your life then is to be sanctified, to be conformed to the image of Christ. You get saved intentionally. You spend the rest of your life trying to be sanctified. You will never arrive. You will never be there. You will never be as good as, or so quit trying to be. Just be like Christ. Every day a little more, right? That's God's will. It's the same for every person. God's plan is completely different. God's plan for my life is different than it is for Jackson's life, or Brady's life, or Chris's life, or whoever, right? His plan is different, and he only gives you a little bit at a time, because you know what? I'll just be honest with you. You couldn't handle the whole plan for your life all at once. I couldn't handle the whole plan for my life all at once that God had for me. That's why he does it that way. We can sugarcoat it and say, well, you know, because he wants to keep you a little bit of time. No, the answer is because you couldn't handle it. Because if he told you up front, at the end of the day, this is what your life looks like, you'd say no. You know what? And God says, no, we're going to do it my way. So I'm just going to give you a little bit at a time, and you're going to learn, and you're going to grow, and you're going to fall, and you're going to do stupid things, and we're just going to get at this thing, right? So do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Here's the second one. Do you believe that God can use you in any circumstance? Right? Do you believe that God can use you in any circumstance? Well, yeah, I think so. Oh, okay. Let's throw you in a pit. Yeah, you do, right? The pit is empty, and there was no water. The only two things it says about the pit. We don't know if it's a deep pit, a shallow pit. Obviously, it was deep enough that he couldn't get out. We don't know if it was muddy. It says that the pit was empty, and there was no water. You need to take what the Bible says and just take it literally. There's a reason that that's the only two things it says about that pit. It was empty, and there was no water. Right? Do you believe that God can use you in any circumstance, no matter whether you're in the pit or prison or wherever it's at, right? Here's the last one. Are you willing to be used by God to accomplish his mission? Are you willing to be used by God to accomplish his mission? And you're like, yes, 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 okay. I'm tired of the same questions. Okay, well, I'm tired of the same reaction. Right? Get fired up about the word, guys. Are you willing to be used by God to accomplish his mission? Because if you are, then who cares about the circumstance? Who cares about the situation? Who cares about the people around you or what you're going through? If you're willing to be used by God to accomplish his mission, then do it. Stop playing around and just do it, right? That's what we've got to do. Okay, so we're kind of rolling with an outline, right? And we're going to get to a new point today. So it all started with... Okay, it starts with the parents. It won't work. It started with the parents, right? He's like dad's favorite, right? So, we're going to roll with, right? So, with the parents, he was dad's favorite. He has all these 11 other brothers, and they're all jealous of him because, you know, he was given the coat of many colors. He was on fire for whatever's going on, right? So, he started with his parents. And then, so, he rolls out, and then the next thing you know, he's in the pit. His brother's put him in the pit. He comes out to see what his brothers are doing, and they're like, hey, we're going to kill him. And then some of the brothers like, well, maybe we shouldn't kill him, but let's just throw him in the pit. Right? Okay, well, that sounds like a great idea. You know, be in there once in a while. Okay, so he's in the pit, then they decide, well, maybe we ought to go pull him out, we'll sell him into slavery, we'll get something out of it, right? Because it's always about what we get out of it. So they go to pull him out of the pit, guess what, he's gone. Because the merchant man had already come by and they pulled him out and they were going to sell him. So he gets sold into slavery, he goes to Potiphar's house, right? And what happens at Potiphar's house? Really wasn't all that bad. He gets made chief of the house pretty quickly. Potiphar sees that, wow, God's with you. Everything you touch is good. My crops are good, my house is good, everything about it's good. Until he fails to stay blameless, right? And we talked about that last week, you might listen to it, right? But he failed to stay blameless. So he rolls into Potiphar's house, and I would rather roll like this. He rolls into Potiphar's house and he makes him chief of it, and then guess what? He goes in, he's not blameless. Potiphar's wife accuses him of whatever, right? She's like, hey, come lie with me, and I don't think they were wanting to snuggle, but, you know, I don't know what was going on. So he gets thrown into prison. That's where we ended up, right? So, they open to the right page. Okay. So that brings us to Genesis chapter 40, right? He's thrown into prison. So here we go. We're just gonna get rolling. I have three things for you, if I can remember what they are, that you need to. They were one worder, so I think I can get this for you. The three things that you need to do while you're waiting on God, right? Because it seems like we go through some stuff in life, right? You ever feel like you go through some stuff? You call stuff, you call it whatever you want to call it. You're going through something, right? And we want to be used by God. God to simply use us. We believe that God has a plan for our life, and we want to just be used to accomplish the mission. So, okay, here am I, use me. And then the next thing you know, you're in the pit, and you're like, God, why don't you use me somewhere? Instead, I'm going through this. Or the next thing you know, you're at Potiphar's house. I'm like, just use me somewhere, right? I want to be used. Use me. And the next thing you know, you're just waiting. You feel like you're just waiting. It's like, man, I really want to be used right now. What am I waiting? You know what you need to do while you're waiting? I'm going to do three things. So here we go. Genesis chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things. After what things? What other thing we just talked about? And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offered their lord the king of Egypt. Offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of his butlers and against the chief of his bakers. Now stop right there. What do these two guys do? The butler is the guy who gives him his cup to eat. The baker is the one who makes him his bread to eat. Why is it important for Pharaoh to trust these two men 100% over everything? Because at the time, it's just like when you watch the old war movies, right? And the castles and this, right? These guys have to be so trustworthy that the king or the whatever, the spies from the other side can't infiltrate and poison this guy or, you know, give him something. So there's got to be a trust level there. Apparently something happened that there wasn't a trust level there. So that's what's going on, right? He didn't want to know. Verse 3, and he puts him in the ward of in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, in the place where Joseph was bound. Right? Remember, Joseph got thrown in the prison. And the captain of the guard forced Joseph with them, and he served them, and he continued a season in the ward. So, the first thing that you've got to do while you're waiting on God, while you're trying to figure out what in the world is next for me, I just want to be you. You know the first thing you got to do? You're going to remember this from my sleep. You've got to serve. You've got to serve. If you're not serving, God's not going to say, okay, well, I'm going to just bump you right up in the rank. It doesn't work that way. If you're not in the ministry, if you're not getting dirty, if you ain't got your hands ate up with what God's doing, if you're thinking Bible isn't laying open like it's supposed to, God's not going to help you to be serving. There's a reason you're waiting on God. He's waiting on you to get busy, right? I said this in D2 the other night, and I'll say it again now, and I might have done some more, I don't know. We spend so much time
saying, I just don't know where God wants me. I don't know what ministry I should be in, or I'm just waiting for God to, you know, turn the light on, or, you know, and guess what? 3 years just went by and you didn't do nothing other than keep the pew there. Get busy. Find somewhere to be involved that you're useful and do that until God turns the light bulb on. Do something. There are so many needs just around here, around this church, and it's not like we're needy, but there's new people coming in all the time. You know, and find something to do to reach people. Find something to do to reach people. Right? A couple things I want to point out real quick in this before we move on. Just because I think this is interesting, like the light bulb turned on in my ear. It says in verse 4, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with him. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with him. Flip back over to chapter 39 and verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt with the Potiphar, right? Remember, this is a guy, many names, many titles. An officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites. I don't know if it's the same captain of the guard, but it's just interesting to me that until this morning, when I was trying to put all this in my head, I had never noticed that the captain of the guard is the one who sent these two to Joseph in prison, and that Potiphar is known as the captain of the guard. I've always thought of Potiphar as, well, he believed his wife, even though, you know, God was with Joseph. Well, you know what? Sometimes you're put in a position in life where you have to take the side of someone, even if you think that maybe it's not completely right. My wife could do something, and I don't think she ever would, but my wife could do something that is completely wrong to someone, or it might be completely immoral. I'm going to take my wife's side 100 times out of 100, and I'm thinking that's just how it's going to work, unless it's her against God. I will stand there, and I will take every bullet for her. Same way that I think in Potiphar, actually. You know what? Potiphar knew Joseph wasn't. I don't know that, but this is the way that I'm thinking this morning. I don't think Potiphar thought that Joseph was messing with his wife. That's what he had to do. Throw him in prison. That's what he had to do. Right? So what happens? He sends these two, if it's the same captain of the guard, I don't know. Right? I didn't do like a real in-depth study, but I just read it as it is. Captain of the guard, captain of the guard. Right? And so...
Well, since the first captain of the guard, wouldn't it be like singular captain?
I guess, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. So, I mean, to me, it seems, yeah, so, yeah. So, he sent these two down to Joseph. Why did he do that? Because he knew. Maybe. It doesn't matter. I've already decided what's my idea. I did say it earlier, though. At this point, I wouldn't be able to jump back on track with that thing anyway, so we're just going to roll with it. Captain of the guard, right? He sends these two down to him because he knows the Lord is with this guy. If that's why he sent him down there, he knows because the Lord is with this guy. That's why. If you're gonna send somebody to learn a lesson, if you're gonna send somebody to get their head on straight, what are you gonna send them to? Some worldly counselor? Or are you gonna send them to somebody that's gonna give them God? I just thought that was interesting point. Nothing to do. I mean, I just thought I'm just reading in between the lines. That's really cool. Maybe you don't think so. I don't know. So he charged Joseph with them. He said that he served him. And he served him. These guys are prisoners in the same way that Joseph was prisoner. He had no obligation to serve them. You know, when you, and I don't want to point you out, but when you're in prison, you're not obligated to serve anybody. You're in there the same way that I'm in there, right? We're in. It is what it is, right? It says he served them. He could have been like, you know what? I've been here longer than you. You're the new guy. You're going to serve me. No. I mean, that's the way I envision prison being, really. So I just... Anyway, I'm telling you, I really don't think that I would be fit for serving. That's why I just generally thought I was within the... I think those are suggestions.
No.
Anyway, it says he served him, right? You know the first thing you got to do while you're waiting on the Lord, while you're waiting on, so you're like, yes, I agree with all those three questions. I believe that God has a plan for my life. I believe He could use me anywhere, and I believe that I want to be used for His mission. Let's go. Saddle up, cowboy. Right? Let's go. Let's go.
come on, this is where like God's supposed to ride in, and we're supposed to go get something done, right? And, just because you're willing, just because you're ready and willing, doesn't mean God's ready to go, right? Maybe he's trying to teach you, right? I went through this big time. I was ready to pack up and move to London, green as grass, and I thought I figured out when I got there. Yeah, I just wanted to go and be used by God, right? And I was like, just hang on. You know what you need to do? First thing you need to do while you're waiting on the Lord, you gotta serve. Joseph's in there, in the prison, dealing with people, and he's doing his service. He's serving. I think that's really cool. Verse 5. And they dreamed a dream. Talking about the baker and the butler, right? Both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And then we get into the dream. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are three days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Okay, that's your dream. I don't know why we're talking in dreams. I don't know why we're talking parables. Yet another comparison between Joseph and Christ. Okay. Then this is what Joseph says. He says, but think on me, and it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. This is the first time after all of the crap that Joseph has been through, that he ever says, hey, put a good word. This is the first time he's not really even complaining. He just says, hey, this is what's going to happen, so, you know, since I interpreted your dream, maybe you can put a word in for him. I don't know if it'll work or not. You know, I didn't do nothing to get it. And then it says, when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, so he's like, I really didn't want to ask, but since his was really good, I'm going to ask now, because this sounds all right. When he saw the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And the uppermost basket there was of all the manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds that eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. This is why Joseph said, the three baskets are yet 3 days. This guy's like, yes, that's what he said to the other guy. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from me, and thou shalt hang me on the tree. And the birds shall eat the flesh from the off thee. That's your dream. That's what it means. Like, wait a minute. Try again. Right. Here's the next thing you got to do while you're waiting. While you're waiting on the tree. I'm like racking my brain for it. It's a one word. Find it? Alright. Thank you. Sorry. You gotta be surveying. Now, who needs surveying? You need to be looking on the field. No matter what you're doing, you've got to be looking on the field. Look at what's going on. Keep your eyes up, right? I don't know if that's a military term. I know it's a sports term, right? Keep your head on the swivel. You know, always be paying attention to what's going on. Right? If not, you're going to get your head knocked off on a football field. That's what happens.
right? And they may throw a flag because that's what they do in the NFL and stuff. But either way, keep your head on a swivel because you're going to get your head knocked off if you don't know what's going on. That's what you got to keep your head on a swivel. You're waiting on God and you're like, okay, Jason said I'm supposed to be serving. Here I am, I'm serving, and nothing's happening. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to survey. Keep your head on a swivel. See what's going on. Here's a couple things that Joseph does. It says in verse 7, and he asked those officers that were with him in the war of the Lord's house, saying, why for look you sadly today? Are you paying attention to what's going on in the lives of people around you? Do you pay attention to what's going on? The people you work with, the people that you go to church with, the people that you see at the gas station or whatever else, you're like, okay, you're getting kind of crazy. No, I'm getting kind of real, right? Are you paying attention to what's going on in their life? Do you care about what's going on in their life? Or is it like, I am here to draw a paycheck. I am here because I'm supposed to be. And I'm out as soon as it's done, right? All throughout the passage, you see what you see happening with Joseph is surveying the field, seeing how he can insert God into the conversation, no matter what. He's always like trying to put it in. He says in verse 8, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Have you not ever had somebody come up to you at work and say, hey, you're a Christian, right? Right? They never bring that up until something bad happens in their life, but you're a Christian, right? Like, I don't really need to hear all the Jesus babble, but what's the Bible say about this? You know, or they're just talking about, you know, this is what's going on in life, and, you know, the next thing you know, it's like, does the Bible not have the answers? Oh, yeah, it does. Okay, well, let's go look at the Bible and see what it says. Right? He's, no matter what's going on, he's in prison with these guys talking about some stupid dreams they had, and he's like, does God not have the interpretation? Get your head on a swivel. Are you looking around to see what's going on and say, you know what? How can I get God into this person's life? How can I get God into this conversation? Right? You know, I'm not the greatest guys. I'm not up here like, yeah, be like me. I'm not. You know what? Sometimes the conversation of my life, meaning the way that I live, it represents Christ really well. And there's other days that it doesn't. I'm human. Right? I fail. So if you were thinking that I was some great guy, you got the wrong guy. I'm just me. I love this book, I love Christ, and I try to live for it. But how are you trying to insert Christ into people's lives around you? Are you serving the field all the time? You're waiting on God, and you're serving, and you're doing all these things. Find a way to get Christ with you. As you walk through life, are you looking for people who are in a place to hear about Christ, or are you simply just trying to make it through the day? Every circumstance, every situation, every day, we need to be finding a way to put Christ in the conversation. Somehow. Some way. We've got to. This might seem radical to some of us, but if you really want to do a heart check, look at it this way. How many times in the last week, let's just talk about last week. How many times in the last week did Christ, or the things of God in general, get brought up in your life outside of the walls of this church? You've seen conversations with your wife, conversations with your husband, conversations with people at work, conversations with anybody. How many times was your Christianity on display through something verbal that you were saying or action that you were doing outside of, well, I'm here on Wednesday because that's where I'm supposed to be? I'm not asking for answers, but I mean, just last week. Okay, well, maybe last week was a bad week. What about the week before? What the week before? You've got to be surveying the field. You've got to find out how you can take this book and get it into their life. Get it. Tyler Cole sent me a text right before I started teaching. He does this sometimes, I do this him sometimes, and it just, 2 Samuel 23:10, it says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned unto him only to spoil. Whatever you do, don't turn on the sword. Use that sword, man. Use it. No matter how bad it seems like it doesn't take a lot of money.
Well, I'm in the pit. I'm stuck at Potiphar's house. Well, now you're in prison. That's even worse. You know what? Take your stinking sword and just use it. Just use it. Sorry, now that this is working, I want to make sure I didn't miss anything really good, right? There is something I want to do. A couple of you guys that were at the Kim's conference in person, but there's a guy there that gave a testimony from my place church. And basically this guy comes from a family of his grandfather was a missionary in India for a whole lot of years. Anyway, he comes from a missionary family. And so this guy has a really awesome career. And he's rocking. And it sounds like he's making good money. Right, anytime somebody says they're in the investment world, the sales world, I'm like, you're doing all right. I know how the world and America works. So, right, he's talking about God put on him and his wife's heart to be missionaries to evangelists. He's like, well, I'm not trained up. I'm not any of these things. So he starts looking for where he can get trained up and what it's going to take. And God leads him to Mike Blake. So anyway, he just moved there within the last couple months away, it sounded. And so he's going to get trained up in the Bible Institute. So anyway, he has to go to his supervisor and say, you know what, I need to take a demotion. I need to take a... What? This is America. We don't do that, right? I need to take a demotion. I need you to, like, cut me down to where I don't have to work as much. I know it's going to come with, like, you take that and I'm cool with that. But I need to take a demotion so I can get trained up and I can do what God's telling me to do. That's countercultural, guys. Like, big time. I mean, how are we doing when we're waiting on God's time? What are we doing with it? How are we doing with that? We're like, I gotta do this, and if not, I'm just, you know, we'll be like, squirrel, I'm just over and do this, because, oh, God, we forgot already for me. Stay focused, right? Stay on track, right? Just something goes by with a shiny chrome staff, and then you gotta look at it, right? Probably just like, ooh, I gotta see that. Shiny trucks and everything. I'm telling you, stay focused on what God's got going for you. Are we quick to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do right now until you are ready? Or are we quick to just jump on the next opportunity the world throws at us? Right? Well, I'm doing really good for myself. Job's going good. Got a nice house. Got a nice car. Things are going good, man. Hey, where's God fitting with that thing, right? Sometimes... Now... I'm going to say don't take this wrong, but you just take it for how it is. Sometimes taking a step forward for God means taking a step back somewhere else. Sometimes taking a step forward for God means taking a step back somewhere else. Maybe it's your career. Well, I don't want to do that. Okay. Choose ye this day which whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Maybe it's your hobbies, maybe whatever it is, right? But when that guy spoke the testimony yesterday, it's just a real short testimony, it's like powerful. I'm like, dang, I want to take a demotion because God's saying you need to get trained up. He's not like me, he's not like, well, I'm going to throw another iron in the fire, it's no big deal. Right? I'll work it out. You know, we'll work 72 and a half hours, and I'll still go to school, and I'll still have a family, and I'll still be in ministry, and I'll be the best at all of them. Yeah, right. You're halfway doing everything, and you're not doing anything right. Right? Whatever it is, guys. What if... Now, this is crazy. What if God was more concerned about your service in the ministry than he was about your job? Well, that's radical. Or more concerned about your service in the ministry than he was about your happiness in life, or about your feelings on the situation. What if God was more concerned about your service in the ministry and what you're doing to edify the kingdom of God? What? Are you serving? Are you serving in the field? God's a God of ministry. A God of taking the word of God to those who need it in any way that seems fit. That is what ministry is. You're going to take this right here
and you're wanting to get it into somebody's life. Maybe that's through volleyball. How does that work? It does. Maybe that's through preaching. Maybe that's through taking the history. Maybe that's through going out here and doing like a ring toss thing for the harvest party. No, maybe that's taking care of the kids on Sunday morning. That's what ministry is. It's taking this and getting it into somebody else. That's God of ministry. You don't get nothing else, get that. Ministry is what we do while we're waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to do something big in my life. Okay, what are you doing in the meantime? Right? What are you doing in the meantime? How are you waiting on God's time? This is the last one. The first one. Right? You're serving. You're surveying the field. Right? Here's a look. And so it came to pass in verse 20. The third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that's where that is. The reasoning that's from in that, right? Because I didn't know either, so I actually had to look this up. It doesn't matter if it's Pharaoh's birthday. It was customary in Egypt on Pharaoh's birthday to release some food. That's what I said. Okay, so, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler, and of the chief baker among his servants, and restored the chief butler into his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. In verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Remember, he was like, hey, is this going to happen? Can you at least put a good word in for me? You know, hey, there's this dude down in the dungeon. I don't think he was doing anything wrong. Maybe we can get him out of here too. Right? Something. It says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Here's the last thing that you need to do while you're waiting on God. You've got to step back. Joseph could have been like, that is it. I'm done. I'm done doing anything for God. I'm done doing anything for anybody else. My life sucks. I'm done with it. Everything I do for other people. I've never had this before, so I'm just guessing this is how it goes. I'm done doing anything else for anybody. I'm sure you've never had this before. I'm done doing anything else for anybody. If I can't finally get something going good for me, then I'm just done. Forget it. I'm one day. I'm finished. I am done with these guys. I'm just... If God... You gotta be steadfast. Joseph's like, you know what? God is... God, they threw me in a pit. My brothers hate me. These guys that didn't even know drug me out of here, sold me into slavery. I'm sure that was a really awesome situation, right? And so I'm sold into slavery. I'm like this bondman. And then the next thing I know, I'm serving God, and He blesses it. I'm getting things done at Pharaoh's house. Or not Pharaoh's house, but Potiphar's house. And then I get accused of more stuff that I didn't do. And, you know, here I am in prison. And I'm just serving. And I'm just, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it. Because you know what? I believe that God has a plan for my life. I believe that God can use me in any circumstance. And I believe that whenever God is ready, I'm ready to be used to accomplish His mission. So I'm just going to keep serving. And I'm going to keep my head on the field. I'm going to survey this thing. I'm going to be on the scroll. I'm going to be steadfast. Because I believe that God has a plan for my life. Where are you guys at? Right? I know you guys pretty well. And I think I say this every week. But I don't know you all that well either, because we're all really good at hiding the things that are right here. Right? How you living? How are you waiting on God? Right? Did anybody, I told you all to do it. Did anybody go watch that clip that hadn't seen it? All right. If you haven't seen it, tell me, look up this clip on YouTube. It's called Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout. You have to watch this thing. Right? How you live. It's really good. So anyway, this is brought back to my head again. How are you doing waiting on God, right? Maybe you're going through some crap. It is really good, guys. Life is not... It's not rainbows and unicorns. There's a lot of words you can say. It's not. But you know what? It's a race. And I'm going to do everything I can to serve God. That's what you got to say. I'm going to do everything.
everything I can to serve God. Because you know what? Tomorrow I'll do that. For me. And you know what? Just like salvation happens in an instant, and you spend years of your life trying to do the sanctification thing, glorification happens in an instant as well. When it's done, it's done. All of a sudden, there is no more striving for crowns. There is no more serving Christ that way, right? That's all about just glorifying. This is the only point in your salvation from being born until eternity that you have a choice in what happens. When you get saved, you're saved. It's done. You can't go back once you make that choice. And then you have this time and period where it's like, this is what sanctification is. How are you going to serve God during this time? And then when life is over, then you're done. Glorification happens, it's done. At that point, you're going to glorify God. There is no choice in the matter when you get there. This is the only time in your walk with Christ, in your time with Christ, that you have a choice in the matter. Man, I don't want to stand before Christ and be like, man, you had like this little bit of time and you can do nothing for me. It was all about you. How are you waiting on God? Let's pray, guys. Father God, I love you. Lord, I thank you for the Lord. Lord, I do thank you for just allowing me to have any part in what you're doing here. Lord, I do love the way that you work in the people's lives here, and I love the way to see I love to see the Word of God just convict people and just work in their hearts, and to see it change their lives. Lord, I pray it would just continue to change my life, Lord, that you would send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that you would bless those who aren't here today that are just busy about labor, whether it be in the fields or at work or in the ministry or whatever they're doing. Lord, I pray you'd just bless them. Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you for just these people. In Christ's name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. See you next week. Thank you very much for the stuff. That's awesome. You guys mean a ton to me. So.